I don't know if I've ever said this publicly, but I can say at least this much. When I was in Rome for 3 full days in March, it was mainly because of the widespread epidemic of homosexuality in our country. Told by the Holy See, whatever you can do to stem this tide of immorality, do so, keep us informed. Any backing and support you need, let us know. Going beyond the class here, my plan is to continue. There's just a volume to be written on this most important subject. Because underlying, what I call the epidemic of homosexuality, underlying it, of course, is a breakdown of authentic Catholic morality. And now there are volumes being written by professed Catholics defending homosexuality. But you will never find one practitioner, to call him that, homosexuality, identifying it by its right name. What's the true name? Sodomy. They were biblical scholars, unquote, scholars, have been so damagingly effective in bringing down both the faith and here the morality of so many once faithful and believing Catholics. Consequently, what we'll do today is just continue. Who remembers how far we got in our last class? Was it 57 then?
Yes.
Okay. We'll continue then, and I'll continue during the summer working on the manuscript. My plan is to make it a full-fledged manuscript covering especially some of the more recent defenses of homosexuality. May God have mercy on them. And there are especially two bishops for whom I'd like to have us say two Hail Marys, Bishop Hamilton and Bishop Clark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Queen of Apostles, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is where, when successively apostles, bishops, teach what is openly in contradiction with 2,000 years of Christian teaching, the church is in trouble. My plan, therefore, is not to continue these two courses for next semester. I will, however, continue with, hopefully complete, the Catechism on Homosexuality. You will get copies of the draft before printing. So let's go to, did we finish 57? We finished 57? 58. When does the church teach, word missing, about the professed practice of love between homosexuals? Oh, how much they talk about love. As I think I've told you, in Greek, there are 7 words for love. In English, there's one. Pardon me. There's another one. Who knows the Catholic synonym for the word love.
Charity.
Of course, that's no help with an English dictionary nowadays, as I told you. The editors, I've said this how many times, some of you may not have heard it. The editors of the last unabridged Webster's English dictionary decided it is no longer possible to publish an English dictionary which defines the meaning of any word. The best that can be done is to describe how words are used. They think of charity as dropping a nickel, or if you're generous, a quarter in a beggar's cup. Charity is the Catholic word for supernatural love. And would anybody by any chance have a copy of the New American Bible with you here? Anybody have a copy of the New Testament here? Don't look around, please. When I teach Protestants, I never ask that. If you ask, anybody have a Bible? They all have a Bible. Carol, do you have a copy of the Bible?
Yes.
Oh, what edition is it?
Confraternity.
Oh. That's Catholic. At any rate, in the 13th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, remember? That charity is patient. Charity is kind. Charity thinks no evil, speaks no evil. Over the years, I have lectures on charity. But the New American Bible, hope I'm wrong, but I do know that the English translations of the Bible now substitute the word charity with love. And, of course, homosexuals, oh, they can talk and write about love. The Church teaches their claim to practicing love is in contradiction to the purpose of the God-given sexual activity. And how many married people I've counseled over the years, retreats to the married. This purpose, sexual activity, is the self-giving of two married persons cooperating with the Creator in order to transmit human life. Moreover, to manifest their own selfless love for one another, the two main reasons for not just sexual activity, in order to ever say, being allowed to marry people. No. That's the God-given means by which they both manifest and grow in their selfless love of one another. But it better be selfless sexual activity. And, of course, for the purpose of both procreating and educating children. In contest, however, the purpose that the Church emphasizes for sexual activity is the procreation and, I always, education of children. Homosexual persons can be generous in love, but this love may not contradict the divine law which defines why and how human love is to be exercised. In other words, it's not enough to say, I am in love with you. You are very dear to me. Because all that is in the world, how you show your love. And this is a phrase that is worth memorizing. Oh, love, how many crimes have been committed in your name? In other words, all the talk about love between, or as you also know, among homosexuals is not only untrue, is a very contradiction for the purpose that God instituted. First, created two genders, by the way, upon by the, both in speaking and writing. In many cases, it is wiser to substitute the word gender for sex. Two sexes, because when we use the word sex, there are connotations with the gender. The word gender does not carry those implications with it. God created two genders so that they might show, and these two genders show the kind of love that, and you may not have heard this kind of language, the kind of love that a wife can show her husband, and the husband can receive from the wife. Of course, the husband is to love his wife. But as our present Holy Father so clearly writes in his document on the dignity of women, and what our country is starving for is the selfless love of women. And many other factors, but one reason, how I hesitate saying it, but I think I should, one reason for the homosexuality among men, which is widespread and devastating, is that the love that men, masculine gender, need from women, they do not receive. As I've said so many times, from the age of 1 to the age of 16, I was raised in a household of women. I've seriously thought, I've never done this though, published a book on what I know about women. Yeah, a great deal. How does homosexuality contradict the purpose of human freedom? According to the creative wisdom of God, we must use our freedom in conformity with His divine will. That's why we've got a free will. Our freedom becomes self-debasement when we choose a choice, when we choose to act in contradiction for the purpose for which God made us free. I hope you've heard this before, or we hear it again. Why in the 16th century were 6 whole nations lost to the Catholic Church? Many historical reasons can be given. But the one, in my judgment, main reason was that people wanted to use their freedom according to their own wills. That is why Martin Luther broke with the Catholic Church in 1517. By 1520, he was condemned by Pope Leo X. Less than 3 years. And among the propositions condemned by the Vicar of Christ, declaring Luther to be a heretic, as Luther is denying that we have a free will. What are we being told? We must. Now, those two words surely sound like a contradiction. The words must and the word freedom. Am I making sense? What are you talking about? Are we free or aren't we? Yes, we are free. And yet you say we must use our freedom in conformity with the divine will? Yes. But then, are we really free? Well, let me tell you, this subject, I'm not exaggerating, deserves a semester of explanation. We're dealing with mystery. Profound mystery. As I've said so many times, I'm sure to many of you, there are only two final mysteries in Christianity: the Trinity in God and liberty in man. Our liberty, our freedom is a mystery. We are free, but we are free for one purpose: to choose whose will? God's will. And whatever in the world that is canonized, what a mild verb, has canonized the human will. And I'll tell people, over the years I've taught comparative religion, of course it's in Hinduism, Buddhism. I speak of two kinds of paganism: the old paganism and the new paganism. The old paganism has been polytheistic. Many gods, you name them, beyond counting. The new paganism is strictly monotheistic. Only one God. Guess who that one God is. It's bad grammar, but very good theology. In the new paganism, the one God is me. By the way, I've been looking for years in different countries, any nation that capitalizes the first person pronoun. If you learn of any, please, please let me know. So far, I've not heard of any, including the Far East, where I've lectured. But English, I. And this is the hardest lesson to learn, I know, really by a real mother, less than 5 foot tall. She had a very, very self-willed son. I think I've told most of you, I reached the age of reason by the age of 4, remember? Mm-hmm. On the kitchen floor, screaming, because my mother was whipping me. Johnny, you stop screaming, I'll stop whipping. I thought to myself, well, that makes sense. See if it works. I stopped screaming. The pain stopped. It works. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and
at the hour of our death. O Mary, conceived
without
sin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are on the subject of homosexuality, and we are analyzing a document of the Holy See on this subject. Number 60, heavy pressures brought on the Church to approve homosexuality. As you know, the questions are mine. The answers, usually in paraphrase, are either the words of the Holy See, as in this case, or the Bishop of Rome. And the answer is very heavy pressures. They are so strong, even Catholics are arguing in favor of homosexuality. And for me, one of the saddest articles was written by an ex-Jesuit priest, psychologist in Manhattan, New York. We have been condoning homosexuality as a Jesuit. The President Holy Father stepped in, told our general, told this priest to stop writing, defending homosexuality, withdraw his book, which he published, the most intelligent book written, defending homosexuality. He refused. He was therefore removed both from the Society of Jesus and laicized from the priesthood. His name is John McNeil, McNeill. We know each other. His office is on Broadway in New York. And he spoke. Oh, how learnedly he spoke at the Call to Action Conference here in Detroit last fall. It is the materialism of the modern world which is behind this pressure. In effect, it is the materialistic theology, or better, ideology, which denies a human person is no mere animal. Human persons are made for a heavenly destiny, which he must earn by the practice of divinely prescribed expressions of the divine will, as you see, there are pretty mildly typographical errors in this text. Moreover, they, that's we, have a supernatural vocation to live in God's friendship here on earth and enjoy His beatific vision and eternity. But notice, unless we are in His, that is God's friendship, and our body dies, our souls will not possess the vision of God. The pressures are horrendous, and the pressures not only through the media, through the printed word, through, well, television, radio, now the computer. The pressure is severely political. My friends in Washington tell me It was a homosexual network that elected and re-elected President Clinton. Powerful financially and politically. One book after another, used by millions, I repeat, millions of children in America from the first grade on. Homosexuality is not just described, but encouraged. There are textbooks in sex education used in Catholic schools, urging the children not to become homophobic and the one series the Holy See asked me to analyze called the New Creation series, a bright shining imprimatur. Only he told me to make the analysis, I did, but hear it. No Catholic publisher in the United States would publish that analysis. Finally published, but to protect themselves anonymously. It's years now of working with this, what I call epidemic in our nation. The hatred of, call them dedicated homosexuals, hatred against those who criticize them, and worse still, openly reprimand them. Priests remove from their priestly duties because they openly opposed homosexuality being practiced in their dioceses. I know I'm being taped. In other words, it is dangerous, and I mean that adjective literally, it is dangerous to oppose the homosexual network in our country. Question 61. One is the basic argument of those within the church who argue in favor of homosexuality. The basic argument is that some people have a homosexual condition, which they call homosexual orientation, which they claim is not disordered. The one statement of the Holy See from which I am quoting and paraphrasing, the one statement they just cannot forgive Pope John Paul for authorizing, is that homosexuality is objectively a disorder. It's a disorder. It is contrary not just to revealed teaching. It's contrary to right reason. And root, those defending homosexuality reflect a materialistic ideology which denies the transcendent nature of the human person as well as the supernatural vocation of every individual. And I think I've said this on some occasion to at least some of you. During my graduate studies in Rome as a priest. One of my close friends was a fellow Jesuit from Poland by the name of Father John Maruk, M-R-U-K. As far as he knew, he was the longest survivor of a Nazi concentration camp. 4.5 years in Dachau, and he was still alive. One reason for his long survival in concentration camp was that he was multilingual. The Nazis needed him for different languages, highly gifted linguist. Wait, told me, those of us, he was then a seminarian who had either a higher education or wanted to talk things over. We couldn't sleep, we were hungry, we were being starved to death. We would stay awake through the long hours of the night. And we talk, and we talk. And among the talks they had, how is it that human beings can be so cruel? How can they be so cruel? And he told me, on the way to the mad meals which they were served, you never knew where you'd be shot, because it was the custom of the Nazis with guns pointed at these prisoners and would shoot at random. You never knew where you would survive on the way to a meal. And now came with all kinds of diseases as the Nazis. So we spent months, as far as we could, looking around, keep our eyes open, our ears open. Finally, we reached the unanimous conclusion. All the Nazis in charge of the concentration camp, both men and women, were homosexuals. You never see that in print. In other words, there's a limit to the pleasures that can be derived from sex. And there's pleasure once a person is morally perverse. There's pleasure in causing pain and enjoying the other person suffering. Psychiatrists, all kinds of long syllabic names. At root, it is the hatred which is cultivated by sexual aberration. Over the years, when I've been teaching my Jesuits their theology, I've told them, don't forget, two commandments go together, the fifth and the sixth. No culture in human history has ever broken, as a culture, the sixth commandment, indulged in the practice of lust without becoming a homicidal society. True, already in the ancient world, true ever since, and sadly true in our own beloved United States. In other words, behind homosexuality is what the church is telling us, a materialistic ideology. If this world and this life is the only one for which we exist, then, well, derive as much pleasure as you can, as long as you're here on earth, and then how correct Dr. Kevorkian is. He knows our society. You squeeze all the pleasure you can from this world. The last thing that a materialistic society wants is to suffer. I told an audience in Chicago yesterday, when I learned in my 50 years in the priesthood, that we must so dearly love God, want to become like Him who became man to suffer out of love for us. That's a contradiction of everything that Sigmund Freud wrote. So what? I read most of Sigmund Freud. He did not believe in the value of suffering. 62. Are there pressure groups within the Catholic Church which promote homosexuality? And mind you, this is the Holy See speaking. These pressure groups are powerful. I could be very specific. Let's just read my summary of the Church's teaching. Under various names, they try to give the impression that their ideas represent all homosexual persons who are Catholics. As a matter of fact, these professed Catholics with homosexuality are by and large persons who either ignore the moral teaching of the Catholic Church or even try to undermine this teaching through organizations publicized under allegedly Catholic auspices. Are groups of once-believing Catholics who concentrate on protesting the Church's moral doctrines. They protest that any and all criticism of the position or any reservation about homosexual people are simply different forms of unjust discrimination. At the heart of the call to action is a strong national homosexual network of professed Catholics. Over the years, we've heard the expression, ignorance is bliss. It is just as well that most of us don't know what's really going on in reportedly, allegedly, Catholic organizations. They penetrate dioceses. They penetrate religious institutes. And their consequences are now statistically devastating. And over the years, because of my work, it's my job to, on the one hand, keep informed. I read their literature. Widespread, nationally circulating newspapers. Well advertised, very powerful. In one diocese after another, how many of you have heard about Dignity? a powerful Catholic, homosexual, pardon the word Catholic, a powerful agency for promoting homosexuality among Catholics. And how many have heard about the New Ways Ministry? Both groups, as I'm sure you heard, and not just a national, but an international convention in Pittsburgh. And not coincidentally, the Bishop of Pittsburgh was in Rome when I was. We met. We know each other well. What word shall I use? He was startled. Do these homosexual protagonists stop there? No. They strive to manipulate the church by gaining the support of bishops and priests in order to change the existing civil statutes and laws. Their argument is that homosexuality is at least completely harmless, if not an entirely good thing. How much they tell you, the church has to learn from us, homosexuals, about the true meaning of love. And the impact on both bishops and priests has been, I have to use the adjective, gigantic. Which is why, of all subjects, 25 years of teaching my own Jesuits their theology, speaking for so many years, my 50th year in the priesthood is going to be exactly 50 years. I learned a lot. Homosexuality is a widespread disease that has penetrated the Catholic Church deeply. It's not just the practice, it's the philosophy behind the practice. Thus, for example, a book again with a bright, shiny imprimatur used in seminaries. I know the author well. And all it takes is one paragraph. There are certain people with a homosexual orientation of which, says this book, I repeat with a big imprimatur, all it says is that people with this orientation have no voluntary control over their homosexual tendency. Question 64. How do the homosexual protagonists defend their position? They do so under the aegis of a pseudoscience in which homosexuality is neither pathological nor reversible. This, by the way, is now the official position of the American Psychiatric Association. Official. In other words, no psychiatrist beyond the association is to consider a person with this homosexual urge, or as we would call it, disorder, as needing therapy. They claim it is a natural, genetic, and biological trait. According to this theory, sexual intimacy with the same sex is simply a normal variation like left-handedness. Let me involve something here because I might if I could. But so the question is, how do homosexual protagonists defend the position? Under the aegis of a pseudoscience, and they have written very learned books. And there are a number of these books, I'm not exaggerating, is a library. Now just one observation. Question. When we come into the world, do we come with, say, the human nature that God originally created? Or do we come into this world with a nature that, as we say, has fallen? I like the word falling. You're all leaning towers of Pisa. You name the sinful tendency, and we've all got it. It's just how much of which tendency predominates in this person or that person. So, all right. So, this homosexuality is not pathological, irreversible,